Okay, good morning or hello everybody. We are beginning with Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 37. We're approximately on page 34. I'll recap just a little bit, some beautiful ideas here. The Tibetan is talking about the three crosses and the development of man. From point to point, stage to stage, and finally cross to cross, he fights for his spiritual life in all the 12 houses and all the 12 constellations, subjected to countless combinations of forces and energies, ray, planetary, zodiacal, and cosmic, until he is made anew. So we really see the purpose of astrology to provide us with those energies by means of which we can build our inner and outer nature more in conformity with the great archetypes that are part of the divine plan. Till he becomes the new man, he is sensitive to the entire range of spiritual vibrations in our solar system. We are far from that, are we not? Even the masters themselves have not achieved sensitivity to the entire possible range, and has achieved that detachment which will enable him to escape from the wheel of rebirth. This escape occurs at the fourth initiation. He has accomplished this by mounting the three crosses, the cross of personality or the changing form, i.e. the mutable cross, the cross of the disciple or the eternal soul, the eternal consciousness, we might say, and that is the fixed cross, and eventually here the cross of spirit. Of course, in a way, he has escaped from the wheel of rebirth before he has really mounted the cross of spirit, the cardinal cross, which we could say is mounted at the fifth degree. At the fourth degree, DK elaborates on the idea that one is neither on the fixed cross or the cardinal cross, but is in some interim condition which is unique. This really means, it says, that he has passed through three momentous crises in his life cycle, and here is where we are taking up our webinar for today. The crisis of incarnation. This is undertaken on the mutable cross, whether he is incarnating in the sign Cancer with the mass of human beings, or, as we have seen, possibly individually incarnating individually in Pisces, he is on the mutable cross, the cross of many changes. He is mounting the wheel of rebirth, of successive rebirths, and is subject to personality and form life. The lower elemental lives are emphasized first, and gradually all of them are emphasized until the entire personality elemental is emphasized at a relatively high stage of human unfoldment. He is undergoing the cycle of rebirth in form, and this is simply the path of earthly experience. He is upon the earth in quite a mundane and not in a sacred manner, and he is simply being exposed to that which will enlarge his consciousness and refine his form over many millennia, over many millions of years. He is undergoing this manifestation of manhood. He is a member of the fourth kingdom of nature. He is a human being, and it will take millions of years before he is poised to enter the fifth kingdom of nature, the kingdom of souls. Well, after many millions of years, really millions of years. And as there is an approach to the latter part of the path of evolution and the, as a man, and the path of experience, he undergoes the crisis of reorientation, and this is undergone on the fixed cross. He does begin to reorient himself before he reaches the fixed cross. He begins this reorientation during the process of the fifth petal unfoldment in the egoic lotus, but, and technically speaking, the fixed cross is not reached until he has become a first-degree initiate and, in a way, has entered from the hall of learning into the hall of wisdom. So, you know, for those who believe that the crisis of reorientation takes place quite late in the process of human development, here is a confirmation. You have to be on the fixed cross before the real reorientation occurs, though even before one is a true aspirant and one is on the latter phases of the mutable cross, this crisis of reorientation is occurring. There, as I say, there are at least two that I can think of. That is, when one is reversing the wheel in the fifth petal, that is an important reorientation, and one begins to reach towards the higher of the pairs of opposites, by whatever name that something may be known. And then there is another moment of the final reversal of the wheel, when one has passed the so-called temptations in the desert, symbolizing, I think, that which occurs on the physical plane or within the three worlds. And then one is truly reoriented and is not in danger of slipping back into attachment to the three worlds. Okay, we are always receiving this little message about degraded audio. It seems to be something that simply happens inside GoToWebinar, and I'm hoping that it's not too degraded. This is the changing to the second cross and the beginning of the life of the soul, which means a life in which the consciousness becomes the main factor of cultivation. It is not so much what happens to the form and its maintenance is not the main objective. The form is maintained so that consciousness may be refined and expanded. And there is preparation here for the second birth, which can be considered the first initiation from a certain perspective, and in another way the fourth initiation is a dying and being born into the cosmic ethers, a being born into the true agenda of the second solar system. But if we're talking about the second birth as the first initiation, then DK seems to be saying that the fixed cross is being approached, at least, or maybe one is having experience upon it, even before the first initiation. Well, usually we have an equivalence, first initiation, fixed cross, hall of wisdom, so forth. It's pretty definite. But sometimes he seems to blur the distinction, and the crosses seem to overlap. And even before the first initiation occurs, the fixed cross is thought to be in power. Anyway, I do like to keep those landmarks about, working within the seventh petal, having the first initiation, entering the hall of wisdom, entering the fifth kingdom of nature, standing upon the fixed cross. All of those I consider to be equivalent. Okay. This is the manifestation of Christhood, which really only begins as a potential when the wheel is reversing for the first time in the middle, somewhere in the fifth petal process, and really before the complete unfoldment. By the time we have the complete unfoldment of the fifth petal, we do have the first initiation accomplished. The manifestation of Christhood, well, when is it consummated? It certainly is powerful by the time the third initiation has begun. The first initiation marks a serious commencement. The fourth initiation is a demonstration of sacrificial Christhood, but it keeps on moving, doesn't it? So that the farther you are in the initiation process, the closer you are to a full manifestation of Christhood. When I look at the fact that Jupiter is the hierarchical ruler of the monadic plane in relation to Virgo, Virgo the sign of Christhood, and Jupiter representing fulfillment, it might almost indicate that when we have returned to our true monadic nature, we have the manifestation of a much fuller Christhood, Jupiter in Virgo, regardless of our ray. And we understand the mission of salvation on which we as a monad have been descending and reascending. So the second crisis, the crisis of reorientation, crisis of incarnation, crisis of reorientation millions of years later. First the manifestation of manhood, then the manifestation of Christhood, and then the crisis of initiation. Now, interestingly, initiations begin well before one can say that one has mounted the cardinal cross. The first two initiations are taken upon the fixed cross, and also even the third initiation is taken upon the fixed cross. The fourth initiation is taken upon neither cross. And the fifth initiation is perhaps the first that is taken upon the cardinal cross. Again, the terminology around the timing of these things is sometimes a little bit vague. But in general, the one initiator and the Christ, they both stand upon the cardinal cross, and they are introducing the candidate to a type of life with which they are familiar. They are in many ways representing the monad. And the monad does have its soul effect, even at the first initiation, even though in the physical brain man is not aware of that monadic context. So the monad is a representative of the cardinal cross, and initiation process begins when the monad begins to affect the soul body or the egoic lotus at the first initiation. So we can see that the influences of the cardinal cross are beginning to come in the initiation process. Now here, D.K. calls it the transfiguration. True initiation is a solar initiation occurring at the third initiation, or the transfiguration, enlightenment, satori, all the things that it is called. The life of the spirit does come in at that time, and perhaps man envisions the cardinal cross at that time. But he is not taking that initiation on the cardinal cross, even though he is meeting the one initiator who is truly a representative of the cardinal cross. We are manifesting divinity here, not just spirituality, as we will when we're dealing with matters of soul and even of triad. We are manifesting divinity. Somehow the monad slowly is getting into the act. So another crisis, the crisis of initiation. And later, I think on page 273 or something like that, I'm trying to get this to behave properly. Page 273 of Esoteric Astrology, I believe. Let us see. We have a listing, I believe, of other crises. Well, maybe not. Maybe it's not page 273. Let's look here. The crisis of the battlefield. All right, maybe it's not page 273. It's going to be page, yeah, that's page 472. I think I reversed a few things. All right, well, other crises are listed here with some of the ones we've been also studying. The crisis of incarnation is listed, and the qualities individualization and the constellation Cancer supervises that first incarnation. The crisis of orientation, well, we've been talking about that. We call it reorientation. And Aries is involved here. Aries is ruled by, hierarchically, by Uranus, a great planet of reversal, going a different way, going against the stream, going against the normal stream, doing things in a new way, oriented towards the monad eventually. Then the crisis of initiation. This is one of expansion of consciousness and of capacity. It's undertaken in the constellation Capricorn. So we do see that the first three initiations that have been listed in the earlier part of the book, those three initiations are listed as the first three here. In the middle of the crisis of initiation, we have the crisis of renunciation at the fourth initiation. Interestingly, Gemini is involved, but perhaps one is acutely aware of the dualities at that point, and certainly the heart center under the second ray is receiving a tremendous stimulation. The crisis of the battlefield occurs earlier. You see, he's not going in the order of the crises. He's not going in any type of order here. It's not going in the order of the crosses, or the order of the constellations. But anyway, these important crises are listed of the battlefield, and this is peculiarly undergone in Scorpio during the first three initiations, and not just the second initiation, in relation to which Scorpio is most known. It is emblematic, Scorpio is emblematic of the second initiation, just as Capricorn is emblematic of the third, even though here it is listed in relation to the fourth. I think the third, not the fourth. The crisis of the birthplace, that's the beginning of the initiatory process. DK gives Virgo the birth of the Christ in the heart. Yes, but also Leo is involved, and Gemini is involved, and Aries is involved, and Capricorn is involved, and Scorpio is involved. A number of different constellations are involved in this crisis of the birthplace. And then the crisis of the burning ground. This is a very... there are a number of burning grounds, one before each initiation, but when I look at the sign Leo there, somehow the idea... Well, it's taking place in Leo on the fixed cross, but it reminds me very much of mastership and the final burning ground with Uranus as the ruler of Leo. So there is real liberation at that point, and you don't have liberation, really, until the fourth degree, where Aquarius can be involved also with Uranus. So there's gradual liberation with each initiation and a burning ground, and Leo seems to be involved with every initiation. The birth of the soul, or Leo, or soul of fire in the heart, at the first initiation, and then the coming in of the heart of the sun energy into the astral body at the second initiation, and then at the third initiation, the glorious manifestation of the soul upon the mountain top. And then at that's the third initiation, the sun upon the mountain top. Leo is involved, and the fourth initiation, the egoic lotus, the spiritual sunflower, is destroyed. So Scorpio hunts Leo in a way. And the fifth initiation, the revelation of higher life, and the man stands as a full master. He is the pentagram upright. He is the number five. He is Leo, the fifth sign. You see, it is really possible somehow to go through every initiation and show how the different every sign of the zodiac can be related to that. And in my book on the Egoic Lotus, and I'm beginning to think these are all going to be talking books, because that's, I think that's the way I have to do it. I go through every sign of the zodiac in relation to the unfoldment of every petal. I mean, you can think about it, you know, you're some millions of years just unfolding the first petal, which takes longer than any petal. And in all those millions of years, you know, you're going to have incarnations in each of the signs of the zodiac. When I say in, it means sun sign. When I say under, it means rising sign. And DK has pretty much set that terminology forward. But you're going to be in and under all the signs of the zodiac, whether or not you can respond to them fully. All right, so those are crises. And the crises listed here, my computer is a little bit, a little sluggish here. Yeah. Okay. So the first three, the ones listed here are the first three on page 474. In our study of the interlocking system of energies, insofar as they affect and condition a human being, the theme of the three crosses is of profound interest. And later, he really develops this idea. After he goes through all the signs of the zodiac and their interrelationships, he really develops the idea of the three crosses, especially as they provide those points of crisis. See, the word cross and crisis are very related. You're at a crossroads, you're being pulled in different directions. You have to make a decision, not necessarily between one and another, but something that synthesizes the best values of each direction. And so at the cross, when you stand at the center of the cross, you have to rise and make a pyramid out of it, which will synthesize the best values of each arm of the cross, rather than saying, oh, I'll live only on one arm of the cross, or the other, or the higher, or the lower. That is the synthetic choice, and therefore the cross becomes, in a way, the symbol of synthesis, especially as it begins to rotate. As the cross rotates, the possibility of the center point rising increases. So the theme of the three crosses is of profound and practical interest, especially as they provide those points of crisis, wherein man steps off the ordinary path of evolution and treads the path of discipleship. After the third initiation, or after the third initiation, mounts the third cross. Now, yeah, he doesn't say immediately after. This is after, but not immediately after the third initiation. Because DK is most specific that the fourth initiation is taken on neither cross. So sometime after the third initiation, he mounts the third cross, or cardinal cross. But technically considered, the third initiation is taken on the fixed cross. Now, two signs particularly, maybe three, are involved in the third initiation. There's certainly a Capricorn emblematic of that initiation, but Aquarius, with its synthetic potentials, is one of the third initiation signs, and Aries, with its realization of being, is another one of those signs. And we can find ways in which a number of them will be involved Even Taurus, the blinding light of the third initiation, and Scorpio, the final initiation that it has, in which its peculiar testing potency is felt, and so forth. So this idea of the crosses, it will underlie our thought and all that I have to say. A steady recollection of the 12 basic energies, 5 major and 7 minor, which, apart from astral reversion due to the great illusion, 7 major and 5 minor will be of value. Well, what a interesting. Normally we think about the greater 7 and the lesser 5, and certainly the sacred and non-sacred planets are arranged that way, but there is a great pentagram which is gives us the major energies. When we think of the planes also, the first 4 planes plus the correspondence to the gaseous plane are considered living planes. They are major planes. It's very interesting. I just realized this, you know. Normally, let's go here. Okay, yeah. Normally, when we look at a plane, the first 2 are considered, subplanes are considered esoteric, and the 5 lower ones, Brahmic. But from another perspective, the etheric levels plus the gaseous are considered living and superior planes, and the 2 lower are sometimes considered to be below the threshold. So we certainly can see how the number 5 is a dominating number. It symbolizes the one initiator. It symbolizes our planetary logos. We don't know what the 5 major lives would be, and the 7 minor. But it is very interesting that Master DK is looking in this way, that 5 are major and 7 are minor. And maybe one of the places where we do see that is in the present setup of the creative hierarchies. Yes, because here, when dealing with the liberated and one almost liberated hierarchy, there are 5 that are superior and 7 which are less powerful because they are still manifested on the cosmic physical plane. So perhaps this setup of 5 major and 7 minor working through the creative hierarchies is some kind of archetypal set up in cosmos when dealing with the number 12, as if there will be 5 ahead and 7 behind. Anyway, these are speculations. We have to learn to look at things from both directions. You know, for instance, when dealing with a 7, we have to look at 2 above and 5 below, and 5 above and 2 below. It's never good in occultism to look at something from only one angle. So these energies work out into human expression via the lords of the 12 signs and the 12 planetary rulers, which one day will all be sacred as the solar system progresses in its development towards sacredness. I mean, you know, as our presently non-sacred solar logos, which is part of the lower quaternary of a still greater being, becomes increasingly sacred, it will take its chakras, the planetary logoi, along with it, and they will achieve sacredness too. And probably one of the first to do so will be the Earth, which we are told is already inwardly sacred. These 12 basic energies emanate from the 7 stars of the Great Bear, transmitted through the seven stars of the Little Bear. We have to identify those specific stars of the Little Bear, seven and seven. We have the energy of the Father, which is the Great Bear, being transmitted through the energy of the Son.